Hello?
Hello, am I speaking with Duncan?
Yeah, sure. Who's calling, please?
Hi, Duncan. My name's Aaron. I'm calling from the investigation team here at MMA Legal. How are you?
Oh, happy to do that. You spoke to my younger sister this morning.
I've been trying to go through the family share.
Yeah, happy to do that.
So basically, sir, yes, as you may have spoken to your sister earlier, my job here, being in the investigation team, is I'm just giving you a call to build the best picture that I can on yourself and gather as much knowledge as I can to build the best case to present to the Scottish Government. Do you have roughly around about 15 minutes to chat to me, sir?
I can. I give me a minute, mate. I'll get in this and I'll switch in here, sir.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Now, what's my government?
Can I keep him in?
Right. I'm just going to talk to this man on the phone. Just right. He's tied up in it, isn't he? He's tied up in it. Okay, man. Hey, mate, I haven't talked to anybody, eh?
Perfect, sir. Thank you very much for that.
No, yeah, call me, please don't call me Carl, just call me Duncan, mate.
Duncan, that's not a problem. I like that. Okay, just for data protection, Duncan, can you confirm your address for me, please?
It's 7 Park Crescent in Dalmelton. K67RP.
Perfect, and the password on your account is Celtic.
It's Celtic, I saw it.
Yeah, perfect. Okay. Duncan, as I said, I'm going to be gathering as much knowledge and painting the best picture that I can for yourself. So I just want to start off by asking a series of questions first, just so I can obviously start gathering that knowledge on yourself. Duncan, are you currently experiencing any mental health issues at the minute?
Yeah, I struggle with mental health, mate. I a lot.
Okay.
I've been in the trap now with my mental health.
Yeah. Okay, what is it that you're experiencing?
Ever since I was young, I've had suicidal thoughts, anxiety, depression. I self-harm a lot. So I used to self-harm a lot, but I don't self-harm anymore.
Yeah. Okay. And would you say you're dealing with PTSD as well?
Yes, I definitely am.
Okay, and are you undergoing counselling at the minute?
No, not at the minute, no. No, I was a psychologist and psychiatrist, not been a fucking at that level. But obviously that's the only place for a certain time, but still got all my manic depression from that and still do work for the doctor.
Yeah. So you are currently taking antidepressants at the minute?
I am Christmas from Dallas, mate.
Yeah,
something
easy.
I'll bring in the rest of my life,
okay, sir. And, did you drink any alcohol or take any drugs at all?
I smoke cannabis, mate. I used to have a problem with the drink, but it's getting better in the last 8 months or so. Probably 8 months ago, mate, I was obviously a fucking full-blown alcoholic, mate.
Okay, and when smoking cannabis, is that to mask your feelings and help you sleep at night?
I'm cannabis dependent, mate.
Yeah.
I started smoking while I was falling down, you know.
I understand that. To be honest, I do understand. I was saying to you, to Laura before, your sister, like, you know, I might just sound like, you know, a guy on the phone doing his job, trying to stick to, you know, being professional, but I personally don't. I don't stick to being professional, reading by the book on every single call, because I'm in this job dealing with these cases because I've been through mental health myself.
I talked to my younger sister about that earlier because she mentioned the cannabis thing and she said that you'd stopped recently as well. And I said to her, I would rather deal with somebody admitting that on the phone than somebody who had never been through anything, do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Speak about their troubles, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. I was smoking it to help me sleep, and I was having, you know, vivid nightmares. I understand. So that's why when I can't ask them questions, like, you know, you're doing it to mask your emotions or you're doing it to sleep, because the more that I can gather on yourself, it's, you know, if I can put that forward, do you know what I mean? Some other people won't know that asking questions.
Exactly. You going through it, you know exactly what questions to ask. Yeah. You can relate to the questions.
Of course.
Alright, good.
Does it help to mask his emotions and help with sleep? Because obviously losing sleep over the traumatic things that you've been through in the past, it's going to play an effect, do you know what I mean? It's massively, because you're going through what you're going through now because of the care system.
Yeah, 100%.
Do you know what I mean?
90% of my problems is obviously through my childhood and care. Because we were really young when we went into care. I mean, I was 8, my little sister was only 4.
Yeah.
I mean, so all we've known is turmoil and stress and nothing going right, and it all just seems to go back to getting ripped away from our mum and dad when we were younger.
Yeah, of course, the instability of things, isn't it?
Yeah, yes, mate, I saw it.
Yeah, no. Good on you for...
I'm 36, mate, I've never felt stable.
Yeah.
Like, my mental health and that's broken in relationships. I never seen my son for a year, and it all stems back to trauma.
Yeah. How old is your son, Duncan?
He's 15, mate. He's 16 this year. Oh, that's my wee boy I've got, mate. Done physics in schools, you know, school thing, college. He's amazing, mate.
Good man. I've got 3 children myself. I've got 2 girls and I've got a boy.
Oh, you're lucky, man. You've got 1 each. I start talking as well. We've got like 1 each, but... Nah,
yeah. Well, to be honest, I've got me daughter to my ex-partner, and then I've got a stepdaughter that class her as my child, do you know what I mean? So she's my other stepdaughter, she's obviously not mine, but I had a little boy with my current partner. So obviously having the look of having a girl and boy, it's good. Having a girl, you've got your little princess, but for some reason, so having a little boy,
I can relate to that 100%.
Yeah, so that's like the scary part about it all is I don't want him to grow up, I don't want him to be a teenager because he's such a pleasant little baby at the minute.
My boy wasn't pleasant when he was younger. Up until he was like 5, 6, he was in his head like turmoil and biting people and kicking off. So I had to just take it as like, don't play fight with him, don't do nothing, like I had to be the boss. And then when his mum separated, if he was kicking off and biting off, he'd phone me. So I've always been the boss. So he's always with him, but even if there's something wrong, he's always phoned me for advice. So he always spoke to me about it. I never knew where it comes when I was younger, so I've just always made sure that, I am going to tell you off, I'm going to explain exactly why I told you off, and then I'll explain how I can help you fix it.
Yeah, of course.
You can't just see all the bad, but I mean, oh, you've done this, but you might have done that, but just how you fix it.
Yeah, of course. You're doing well for yourself, Duncan. You should be proud of yourself, man.
Thank you, mate. Well, for the longest time I wasn't, mate, honest to God, but as I said, the last 8 months I've got my sister's back, my mum's struggling with cancer, and I've moved in with my mum to help her deal with illness and that, it's getting my family back, the only reason I've stopped drinking really, mate, to tell you the truth. I was still sitting in Glasgow just fucking eat myself to death.
Yeah.
I've got a purpose in the first time in about 8 years.
What was that, sorry?
I feel like I've got a purpose for about the first time in 8 years.
Yeah, no, good. You know what, I'm pleased to hear that. Obviously you're a fan of purpose, you know, you haven't had the best of a thing, and it's been quite, as you said, you know, using the word turmoil for yourself, but it's good that you can see the light this year. So,
grab as many as you can
and just develop from there, man. Because honestly,
as I say, mate, I was born to be suicidal, but for the first time in my life, I don't even think about anything, man. It's great. I mean, obviously, I'll still be suicidal thoughts, and when they pop out of my head, I'm like, I'm dumping. You know what I mean? I know it's just my brain is just the way it works, do you mean? But I know my reasons for here, and I know that's, we're all just a process of our own thoughts, innit? So,
of course, yeah.
You've got to pick the good for the bad and remember that it's only a thought. You don't have to act on that thought.
Yeah.
Everybody feels like they don't belong or they're not worth it. They're not worth their worth. Do you know what I mean? Like they don't know their worth. It's just fucking with people and listening to people, and it's just like for years.
Yeah.
I wouldn't listen to psychologists or doctors, and I think, nah, I'm fine. I've got to be a man. And then in recent years, like, you know, aiming titles and people coming out and like actors and that admitting like they got like assaulted and stuff. Do you know what I mean? It hurts a whole lot that people are actually coming out with the work and saying, oh, well, wait a minute, I say, this is not right. And then it makes everybody else go, well, wait a minute, I'm not going alone, so I can't speak about it.
Yeah, of course, like, obviously you can be a man, but you can still be a man and fight these battles, can't you?
I fight battles and struggle with that.
Yeah.
So, I always say, I didn't ask for a lighter burden, I just wanted broader shoulders to carry the burden.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, no, good on you, mate. Honestly, it does take some strength and courage to get where I will, even to the point of what you're feeling now. It really is. So give yourself a pass on the back.
I can leave him doing it, and for the longest time, I was like, oh, I can do this, leave, and I used to plan it all out now. But I've definitely got a guardian angel or somebody sitting on my shoulder, mate. I've tried to say six times it's failed, so.
Yeah.
I believe it was here for a reason.
Well, yeah, don't try a seventh, mate, because seventh is my lucky number, and I wouldn't want that for yourself. You've got a lot going for yourself, do you know what I mean? You've got
I always worked for myself. My uncles and everything worked for me, and then just during the COVID, there's a lot to do with Gatmeville as well, but I was not like doing my closest mates, and then my brother-in-law and my uncle. So it was just, my brain was like, I've had enough. I was in Gatmeville 6 days before I even realised I was in the hospital, when I woke up one morning and I was like, fuck, why am I in hospital? I thought I killed somebody. I thought I was in a criminal mental hospital or something, mate. I didn't even realise I had a breakdown, and the nurse was like, oh, well, like, she must have just seen the difference in my face, and she went, welcome back, and I was like, well, do you mean not go back, what have I done? She went, nah, you've not done nothing, and I was like, oh, fuck. But I just let me, and I was like, oh, and I realised, do you mean, I was like, fuck. And then,
yeah.
And just all came flooding back to me.
Yeah, no, fair enough, mate, you've changed your life around massively, yeah, and as I said, it does take some courage to do that, and a young age like yourself as well.
It all comes down to admitting it and letting people help you. Stop fighting against their help, because sometimes the closest people say, you don't want to hear their advice, but they're right, and it's just taking it on the chin.
Yeah, no, of course. I'm glad you've got your family back, and obviously you've got your little fella there with you to look up to you as well, do you know what I mean? Which is good.
My uncle as well, they've always been a massive help, but I've got my uncle back, they just bought a boat, I've just bought a motorbike, but I've got them just one at the place, man.
Yeah, no, good. Okay. Just keep going with that, take every day as it is, seeing the positive in the days, and it'll just get better and better. You know, you've got that little foundation there now of getting it good, and it'll only get better from there. It can't go much worse.
Exactly, and challenging yourself with positive people as well, because all my mates have got, like, you know, yourself when you're struggling, you shouldn't just, if you think you're selling yourself with people you're joining, because it's probably for disease and whatever. Like, you're never going to get help around yourself with people like that, because they're still struggling as well. You can get yourself away from it all together. Like, I don't talk to anyone, mate, something bad going on. I feel bad for myself and I feel bad for them, but I'm in a better place. So, it's like, at the end of the day, they're not benefiting me, so.
Yeah, no, good. I'm proud to hear that.
Thank you, mate. Thank you.
That's a very good place.
It means a lot to hear it from people, mate. It really does.
No, good. I'm happy to share it with yourself. You know, you're a good enough bloke. You've been through some hard times, and as I said, you know, you've got your family right. I've spoke to your sisters already, and you know, it seems like a good family, and I'm pleased to be helping every single one of you get the, you know, the justice and the compensation that you deserve, to be honest.
It's not even the me, as I said to my sisters, I'm not even worried about the money. I just want somebody to spend on my somebody to see the brain, somebody to see the fucked.
Yeah, no, of course. Well, I'll talk you through the process in a little while and tell you how it's all gonna work out for you. But just one question, obviously you have touched base on it a little bit, and I just need to just grab the details from it, unfortunately, so I do apologize and drag it back up a little. But you mentioned about like trying to kill yourself and stuff. Can you just tell me about the times that you have?
Aye. Wow. Right. What was I going to start? First time I tried to kill myself was I was in care. I took Valium and drink. I never told the staff. I was in a lockdown. I never told the staff. I woke up just zombie the next morning.
Yeah.
And then it was after my dad kicked me in the face when I was 17. Just a few months out of here. Let's say my dad, and he ended up assaulting me again. And I can't tell myself then, I tried to hang myself. And my mate found me.
Wow.
And then I tried to hang myself again, and when after my dad hit me in the face, I went to England to stay with my sister, and that relationship broke down, and I was living with my wee sister, and we lost the house we were staying in, so I fractured myself then again, and my mate found me again. Not the same mate, but he literally was walking past and seeing my feet through the crack in the blinds and knew it was me right. He kicked my door in and I was hanging through the loft.
Wow.
And then I jumped off a bridge in 2018. Just when I left England, I came back to Scotland.
Yeah.
And then 2021. 21, 22, around there, I mean, we couldn't see. So, it would have been Christmas time of 22. I had a standoff with negotiators and that. I was sitting on a bridge in the Botanic Gardens in Glasgow. And the whole place was shut off, and I had to get the negotiators to talk me off the bridge. And then I tried to help myself with the drugs about 3 weeks after that. And then it didn't work either. And then I tried to, I cut myself like a patchwork quilt, maybe, really, when I ended up in Barnabel. I was covered in flowers for it. And just, when I was in there, you had to count them just to make sure, like, obviously, I wasn't adding fresh ones.
Yeah.
It gave us something like 360, like, cuts and flash marks in my body.
Okay.
I'm glad I don't remember doing that, like.
Yeah.
So that affected me in this area, like, when I get shots and that on, like, it's scarred all my legs and shit, me, and all of my chest and that, so, it's fucking...
Yeah, no, thank you very much for coming for it, too.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, you know.
It does take some courage, but I do apologise in dragging their memories back up, but the more I know about this, the more of a case I can build around yourself. So I know it's like opening Pandora's box, and I do understand, you know, sometimes you don't want to talk about it, and you don't want to relive their memories. All that can reassure you is, as much as it's scary to, you know, to think about, this is what we're here for, this is what...
And I think the times through COVID and that, like, were, like, see, obviously, because you weren't allowed to go and visit people in hospitals and that, and it just felt the same way as it did with going to center care, like, going to see your family every day and then, you know, took away from him and all he didn't see him. So that,
yeah.
I lost the aunties and uncles where I was in care and like, wasn't allowed to watch funerals and that, and just told it to people you grew up with and who'd gone.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that. It's not nice at all, and obviously by the sound of it, obviously speaking to yourself and your two sisters, you know, it's confusing for a lot of you, do you know what I mean? It's like you just don't know what's going on, you don't know the reasons, do you know what I mean?
Never any qualification or nothing like that.
That's it, the qualification.
It's not a good issue when you're a kid, but you get your notes and all that from the files and stuff, you don't get any information. You don't get told nothing, you're just walking a bit wondering why.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing, it's the why, isn't it? Why are you there? Why are you getting moved?
Obviously we knew why, like, when it came to like, my mum and dad, but it was like, nothing was ever explained to you, it was just, all right, this is what you're doing there, like, and like, I moved a bit, I heard a lot before I got pregnant, but before I actually committed to marriage and started working on myself, I couldn't sit anywhere, like, right? My whole life, because I get took away from being a traveller, I'm like forced to be in care, and like you couldn't do nothing, but for the longest time, I was just like a wild horse, like just refused to stop, just for the fear of being stuck, and then when the alcohol finally got a hold of me, I just sat in bed for 6 years and picked myself to death, it finally caught me.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that. At least you're here now, and you've been through what you've been through.
I know.
It's you're doing a very good job of where you are today, Duncan. You really are. But yeah, again, I really do appreciate that open honesty towards myself in letting me into that information.
It can't be easy to do your job and obviously go through trauma and then have to hear it from everybody as well. That's why I stopped going to meetings and that, because I found it hard listening to other people's problems. You don't want to feel sorry for people, because for the most part they don't want people to feel sorry for you, but it's hard to hear.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, you have thrown me off guard a little, because you're the first person that's ever said that, but you're also the first, you and your family are the first kind of people have let me guard down a little bit too and related to in matters where, I smoking weed, having unsettled parents, I was good with my mum, I was kind of like, I had a lot of questions towards my dad and stuff. But going back to what you just said there, it's more so now I've kind of gathered the mentality in myself where, okay, I've been through my trauma and my past, but doing this job, hearing other people's stories and how they've been affected by their trauma, not only makes me better walk out of my office door knowing I've made an impact on one thing by helping them. Yeah,
so
by helping.
You should have told yourself as well, mate.
I am in some ways, mate, but obviously hearing it from one of my clients, yeah, I appreciate that, thank you.
No, you're welcome, man, I couldn't hear it every day, man, I get it.
Yeah, no, I get it, but it can be challenging, some of the stories I have heard, they're not the nicest, but at the end of the day,
I've heard people that 10 times worse than me, and I think that's why me and my sisters all can relate to other people, because we went through the same kind of thing, but like, we've been split up and given into different homes, we've met loads of different people from loads of different walks of life, and I've met people who have had it 100 times worse than me, I've not had it easy, it's just all about relating and
just showing that empathy behind things and knowing that you've got the ear to listen. That's all people want to do is be listened to, get the stories out, get it off the chest. And if you've got that strength within you to do so, then embrace it, because there's not enough of it in the world nowadays.
No, there's definitely not. No.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
I'm saying it.
Yeah. But I appreciate them kind of words, Duncan.
No, you're welcome, mate. I really meant it, mate.
Yeah, no, thank you. Can I just grab, Duncan, the medical practice that you're ready for now, please?
Yeah, just now, it is Don Mellon Doctors, but I think it is at Dune Valley Medical Practice. I think it's just right in the last one, Andrew.
Now, what's the
Dune
Valley Medical Practice?
Yeah. Aye, Dune Valley Medical Practice is D-O-O-N and then Valley Medical Practice.
Is it Afton Brigham?
No, it's Carl Melton.
Okay, Dune Valley Medical Practice. Some Mallet, did you say?
Some Mallet in the eye. Let's
have a look.
Sorry, Mum.
Is it Dalmellington Health Centre?
Dalmellington Health Centre, right.
On Main Street?
Yeah, it's alright.
Yeah, okay, I've got that. And how long have you been registered there for?
I've only been registered there a couple of months, mate.
Okay, where was you before that, can you remember?
It was Kingfont Medical Practice. I'll have to go to them. Yeah. Spelling, because I don't know how to spell that.
That's alright.
Hey, so Drumchapel Health Centre.
Drumchapel?
No, Drumchapel.
Drumchapel. Drumchapel. Medical Centre.
Kinfons. KINFAUNS. Drive.
Okay.
Do you want the postcode?
I might need it. Give me a second. Actually, I've got that there. It's G15.
G1570.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And how long was you there for, Duncan?
Yeah, I was just up there for about 5-6 years, mate.
Okay. And when you've changed doctors, have you always carried your records over?
Yeah, I records are over. My new doctors know all my stuff, mate. Yeah, I registered there.
Okay. Alright, and then going to your care settings, I'm just gonna, I've got yours and Laura's up. So it's very similar care settings, isn't it? But then with Lexi, you used them both when she was shooting tennis, didn't you?
I knew Lexi went shooting tennis, aye.
Yeah, and then you've gone to McKellar Children's Home after shooting tennis.
No, I went from Margaret and Gordon's to McKellar Avenue before shooting tennis.
Right, okay. No, it's that same, sir.
When that relationship broke down with Margaret and Gordon, they put me in there. Actually, that wasn't a children's home, but they put me in there. It was a home for kids that were getting ready to move on. Out of here.
And I
was sleeping in Northern then.
Okay, we're going from the start with Greg Horn. How long was you there for?
2 years. We were there at the same time, man.
Yeah, okay.
When we first went to see, that's the thing as well. I said to your colleague, what Greg Horn was you were putting there, that wasn't a children's home. That was Greg Horn Hostel. That was for kids that were moving out of care as well.
Yeah.
For older kids. And they put us in there. That was like two actual hostels that put me in instead of at the home.
Yeah. See, do you know what, I'll just type out my notes here. I even now remember Margaret and Gordon's surnames, which is Reed and Campbell, isn't it?
Yeah. Fucking horrible bastards, aren't they?
Yeah, I've heard the stories, which are not nice at all. Not nice. Which is why we're gonna be looking into the local authority under Margaret Reed and Gordon Campbell, and obviously with the abuse that you've all suffered there, really. You know, it's
we can't be the only ones, like, the Margaret and Gordon, like, Gordon bought them care law as well, and that place is under scrutiny, and the way he treated me, I know for a fact he treated people bad in that place, do you know what I mean? Like, just,
yeah.
Having lived with the man, I know for a fact he's one of the ones you should be looking into, like.
Yeah.
He should have been struck off years ago.
I believe so. It's and obviously care law as well, they getting claims against them as well. I've got a few clients from KLO already.
Aye, that's what I'm saying. Like, at least people put in like a care setting, like KLO's like a residential school.
Yeah.
I think and I had mates that were in but left care and went into residential, and they came back broken kids. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Something it's so we had it bad, but sometimes not all that bad, you know what I mean? Like,
it's
different settings,
Okay, how long were you in McKellar after being with Gordon and,
I was in there a few months. I think I was only in there 4 months, 4 or 5 months. At first they were talking about keeping me there, but because my sister was older and there was other older kids in there, like, they was always fighting and always arguing, I was always fighting, like, with my older sister, and then some of the older kids attacked me. I'd attacked a picture after the side, like, a fully grown man.
That
lived in the corner, and I was only 13 and nothing was done about it.
Well, this is what I mean. This is why, as a law firm, this is why we want to kind of give the, I don't want to say payback, but it's giving you guys the closure towards just the treatment that you've been through. You know, back to these people that didn't get punished back in the day.
And people who have been in the same situation as me and didn't have the family doing anything to help pull them back in, then. There was two young kids years ago, and they ran away from a secure unit and they killed themselves. They got off a bridge in Glasgow, and I knew them. And that's hard, like, because they're never going to get their closure, are they?
Yeah, exactly. You know, this is how strong the mind can be. Obviously, when it comes to life getting hard, times getting tough, people think that's, you know, the way out, and it's not, because it just leaves that effect for many others around them, and, you know what I mean, friends and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, they're there to tell on the stories, and like you just said there, you know, like you knew the lads who jumped off that bridge, and you're still to this day, you know, you've come and told me the story, like it does just have the ripple effect.
Of course it does, because I'll tell you that, or, you know, still do have got kids in that, but, like, they died as kids, and, like, as you say to me, like, in their brain, the only way out was taking themselves out. That's not right, because when you're in care, the government's meant to be protecting you and giving you a better life than the one you were looking for, like, the one you were looking to get, and never got that.
Being a vulnerable child or teenager, you know, you're putting that dependency on them to look after you, and then obviously when the abuse or the trauma is coming back at you,
My first proper girlfriend, I met her through the care system, Louise, I'm not going to be telling you this, I mean deeply, but I'll tell you anyway. She got took away from my mum, and then my mum ended up dying. And then as soon as her mum died, her dad, like, stopped her seeing her younger brother, and, like, just treat her like a pauper, mate, just, like she was scum.
Yeah.
She ended up hanging herself.
Wow.
Through all that, and the care system just never bothered helping her, then.
Yeah. No, it's bad, isn't it?
She got to the point where the only way out, she couldn't see her brothers, then she was going to see her mum. And to feel like that's fucking sad.
It's sad when you hear the stories, isn't it?
I broke my legitimacy all on the bottom, do you know what I mean? She was my first lover.
Yeah, well, that's, I can relate to that, because obviously my partner that I'm with now, when I was like 10, 11, and I still to this day, I say to her, like, you're my first love, you know, like, we met in high school, and in year 7, and then we went, like, our separate ways for, like, 13, or about 12 years, I went and moved to Australia, and there she was, still FaceTiming me now and then, and all that kind of stuff, and then I come back, and then not long after COVID, we ended up together, and I was just like, see?
That's meant to be, I believe in
truth. Meant to be,
yeah.
But now that I'm with her and stuff, and, you know, we're quite settled in that, now I've got the right to call, you know, me playing in my backside and stuff, but she's a diamond as well, so it's nice when, you know, you can admit that to yourself, kind of, like,
but then, I'm a firm believer as well, like, if you met her when you were younger and then got together years later, and you've always carried a love for each other. And
yeah.
And to carry that love for each other, you've got to constantly fall in love with that person.
Of course.
People who are together, like, 40, 50 years, they aren't in love with the person they fell in love with.
It
loves growth, and you've got to keep growing with it. So,
it's always nice and humbling to admit sometimes.
No, it's not. That's good, right?
It is. It's subtle, so weird, isn't it? Just clarifying that last case at Duncan, Street and Terrace, you was only there for a couple of months, was it?
No, I was in for a few months, but I was in Street and Terrace for a couple of years, right?
Yeah, okay.
I was 13 to 16, 3 years until I was in Street and Terrace. 13 to early 16, tell me about.
Alright, Duncan. Thank you for clarifying them, obviously, the care settings and obviously your GP centres as well, where you've been registered. Once we send off a request for the medical records and care setting records, when they come back, would you like me to share that information with yourself?
I don't really want to know about my records, mate,
Yeah, no, that's completely fine.
Not too much for my care setting, mate, let's go all her records years ago, mate. We started reading them, and she decided she didn't want to, mate. We tried to burn them, mate, and they didn't burn, so.
Tell me that story, you know.
She's
telling me.
She said they just wouldn't burn. You can burn that, mate. Fuck that.
To be honest, Lexi said she said the same. You know, she's got her records, you know. But she just doesn't want to go through them. And by the show, you know what I mean? It's entirely your choice. I've only got to ask because these are records, they're not mine. Entirely your decision. But I've put a strong note on your file here that obviously you don't want them shared, which is completely fine.
You'll be probably a
10 I understand that, and obviously, as I said, if there's anything for any reason, you know, we need any additional information from yourself, we'll only just give you a quick call, but with gathering this information today, I think it's because you don't know enough to kind of, you know, it has all links up to, you know, where your sisters have been as well. But obviously, Duncan, just obviously inform you, obviously, when you were saying before about about how the case is going to go, basically, it's going to be like a 6 to 12 month journey with yourself and I. So what happens is this case, I'm going to build the biggest and strongest case for the cancer, yourself and your family as well. present this to the Scottish Government. And what happens is this goes to an independent panel. So the result is concluded behind closed doors. So you or I don't have to attend anywhere or, you know, go to a court or anything like that. What we try and fight for, first and foremost, is an official recognised authority from the Scottish Government for your treatment of being in care. And then we also fight for some financial compensation for yourself as well. So before I do come to conclude this phone call, I do just need to go back one step and I just go over the fund options that you've got out there for yourself when it comes to this application. Once I've read that, I'll ask you formally whether, you know, you want to proceed with MMA Legal moving forward to represent you, and then I can leave you to enjoy a nice day this afternoon. And does that sound good?
Yeah.
Perfect, no worries. I'm just going to go through this for my compliance team, so as I said, once I'm done, I'll leave you to enjoy your day. So when it comes to the Scottish Redress application, you do have three options. Option one is that you can apply for a solicitor or a law firm. You can do this application yourself without a solicitor or a law firm, which that just means obviously for gathering your own evidence and presenting your own case to the Scottish Government. Option two is that you can instruct a different solicitor or law firm in England or Scotland to participate in the government scheme. So they're paid £2,000 for your case, whether you win, draw, or lose the case. They don't charge any fees, but as I said, they're only paid £2,000 for your case. But with ourselves being at option three, we're a private independent law firm. So first and foremost, we don't want to be owing the Scottish Government any money. We don't offer, we don't accept any handouts from the Scottish Government. But what we do is we work on a no-win, no-fee basis. So if for whatever reason the case doesn't go in our favour, we won't come and chase you for any financial fees or, you know, cast that stress or burden on yourself.
Yeah.
We are covered by our insurance. But what we do is, you know, if for the compensation that you will receive, we just take a small percentage of 19.2%, so that's 16% plus VAT. Which totals 19.2%. That is capped, so it doesn't matter what kind of compensation you do receive, we won't come chasing us anymore. We just want to be obviously paid for what we've done for your case and how we've presented your case. So with them three options being read to yourself, Duncan, would you like to proceed using MMA Legal as your law firm moving forward?
Yes, I would, mate.
Perfect. Not a problem. Thank you very much for that. Last thing to mention is I can see that there's a cooling off period that's expired on your account. My colleague Billy would have put this on 2 weeks ago for you. Whether you're aware of it or not, what that meant is basically Billy's put that on for you, so within that 2 week time frame you can go ahead with part agreements, and if you wanted to use another law firm you can do. With you staying out, obviously you'd like to use MMA Legal moving forward. I can get started on your case, no problem. Or if you just want that extra bit of time, I can be in state for 14 days for you.
No, go ahead with it, mate.
All right, not a problem. I've removed that expired cooling off period off your case, and what we'll do is we'll get started on your case. As I said, I'll be giving you an update every 4 to 5 weeks during this process. So if you've got any questions or anything in the meantime, save this number that I'm ringing you off, and as I said, my name's Adam, and I'll be your case handler moving forward throughout this case. Yeah, do you have any questions for me at all, Duncan?
No, I didn't know you were in it, no.
Of course, that's what we're here for, and that's especially what I'm here for, to obviously help you and your family get the recognition that you all deserve. I do appreciate your time and honesty today, Duncan. It really does mean a lot to me.
No, thank you, mate. Any thought to me, mate, you got on the level and opened up next to the case. It's a lot easier to speak to somebody who can relate to you than somebody who's never been through anything like that, do you know what I mean? Who's,
of course.
Law and like stuff like that, and like never been through it. It's really good to hear, mate.
I'm glad you felt comfortable in doing so, and obviously, it is, as I do understand it, it is more better to speak to someone who can relate than just read off the book or, you know, off a screen and whatnot.
Aye, of course, I feel like I've had a wee counselling session on the phone, do you know what I mean? I feel great now. I've got it. mean?
Yeah.
Like, getting out and speaking about it does help. I feel great, man.
Yeah, no, good, good. Jonathan, sorry, just before I do let you go, do you have contact with your sister Kelly at all?
Yeah,
do you mind just giving her a little buzz and just say that I have started to make contact, whether she listens to her voicemails or not? I tried calling her just before I rang you, but there was no answer.
I do know that her and her fiancé went carp fishing last night for a couple of days, so she might not have any signal issues.
Ah, okay, fair enough.
I do know that they went away fishing last night, so I'll try and contact them, but if you can't get up to like today and tomorrow, it's probably because she's doing fishing.
Yeah, fair enough.
I'll let her know that our number's on the phone. I'll even give her the number so she can save it on her phone. So when you phone, it'll come up with the number.
Yeah, perfect. Do whatever you think's best. Thank you very much for your time, please.
No, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
No worries, mate. You enjoy the rest of your day.
You too, mate. Thank you.
Cheers, mate. Thank you.
Bye now.